And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's good, everybody? We're officially 1 month into the NHL season and here for week five fantasy pickups, NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by our good friends at Skip, Pete Jensen, Nick Albergo. What's going on, Nick?
Not too much. Yeah, Skip is fantastic. I had some this past weekend. I had to wonder, so the clocks were flipped back this weekend, but did the years as well? Because some of these guys making headlines right now, it's pretty crazy as we bring in Waiver Wire James to get his analysis on some waiver pickups for this week. Is it actually 2022, James? I got to confirm with you.
No, I don't think that it is. What was the year that Jamie Benn won the scoring title by 1 point over Johnny Tavares? Was that what, 2015, 2014, somewhere about there? Because this is about the best I've seen Jamie Benn look since that year. And in the last week, I'm like, oh my God, Jamie Benn still plays hockey in the NHL. So how about that? But yeah, we're seeing some return to form for a lot of guys we hadn't been seeing for a while.
Yeah, this isn't sustainable by any stretch, but it's important to preface. Like, you look at the numbers optically for Jamie Benn, James, and you're like, wow, this has been an unreal season. But it's happened in a three-game stretch, right? 4 goals, 4 assists, 8 points, 5 power play points, 16 shots on goal. It's not sustainable, right? Like, he's playing on the third line, but he's on the first power play unit. I think for now, you ride him while he's hot, right?
Absolutely. He's a prime candidate for a streaming position. You look at that team right now, they're led by that top line. Hintz, Pavelski. I know, Nick, you have a huge man crush on Robertson. I mean, how can you not with the production he's had to this point in his career? You know, they're the driving force on that line. But, you know, you do have to take a look at Jamie Benn in certain situations, especially, like you said, on that power play with the exposure to those guys. You know, but again, I agree. I don't know if this is going to be fully sustainable, but I'd ride the hot hand with him.
And another 30 plus year old guy that opened my eyes the past week or so, Jeff Skinner, Buffalo Sabres. And unlike Jamie Benn, I mean, Skinner, who's 30, is playing on the top line with Tage Thompson, who's been a machine fantasy-wise lately with the shots on goal and the points in general. And that could be something if you're looking out on the waiver wire and considering those two guys. You always have to break the tie, James, with the guy that's playing on the top line, right? I mean, first power play is really important when you're playing with guys of that caliber. Jamie Benn actually has 7 power play points on the season. But I think Skinner has a chance maybe to set a new career high in points this year. It's crazy. That guy has had 63 points, even 4 different seasons in his NHL career, some with the Hurricanes, some with the Sabres. But it looks like maybe he could reach new heights this year.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, 63 points 4 times. He's been a 5-time 30-goal scorer, including last season where he had 33. And when you look at his exposure to Thompson right now and what Thompson's doing, it's kind of hard to believe that, you know, Skinner isn't more owned just because of that exposure to Thompson and especially that exposure on that top power play, where I know Rasmus Dahlin is a little banged up right now and Owen Power slotted in there over the weekend and looked absolutely fantastic also. You have to be considering Skinner right now just because of the production that he had last season with Thompson and how they've both opened this season right now. Is Thompson have 12 points in his last 5 games and Skinner is riding those coattails. So, you know, if I'm trying to break a tie between the two of them, absolutely. I'm leaning more Skinner for the fact that he is playing on a top line with a guy like Thompson, who's at this moment one of the top players in fantasy over the last 2 weeks.
I want to stay in the Atlantic Division and Kirby Doc. Number one, it just opens up so many opportunities for fantasy team names. Number two, he's been elevated to the top line to play with Caulfield and Suzuki and power play one, a 4-game point streak, a goal, 6 assists, 7 points. So, James, I ask you this. Why in the world did the Chicago Blackhawks trade this guy? I'm still trying to figure that out.
I think that's the answer that everybody's trying to figure out. Hey, guys, we want to get younger, so we're going to trade two of our youngest players. That makes so much sense. I think the fit just wasn't great for Doc in Chicago. He never looked fully comfortable there. Obviously, before that rookie season, he got hurt, and it felt like they kind of rushed him back that year with the wrist injury, and he just never, you know, fully settled in. It never really seemed, especially after the trade for Dylan Strome, that they gave him the look in the top six that I think a lot of us were expecting to. It was more Strome and Taves still over the past couple of years, despite Taves, you know, losing a step. I think in Montreal right now, Doc kind of fits exactly what they want to do, which is they want to go really up tempo and play that, you know, Martin St. Louis style. And the thought of him playing with Suzuki and Caulfield right now is just an absolute nightmare, I think, for some teams. The youth and the speed that the three of them have and have been showing lately is absolutely, top of the league. Try running a track meet with those three guys on the ice and you're going to lose almost every time. So, you know, I really like what they're doing up there right now in Montreal, how they're building it.
Absolutely. And you look, it's not just only Kirby Dach that's thriving elsewhere, right, guys? It's Dominik Kubalík, maybe one of the biggest steal pickups of the entire fantasy season. Dylan Strome in power play points and points outright, second on the Capitals behind Alex Ovechkin. And then, oh yeah, Alex DeBrincat. The Senators have been a little shaky so far, but they're losing some close games across the league. And DeBrincat's one of the best shots on goal per game producers with more than four per game this season.
You're right, Pete. On the surface, it doesn't make much sense. But seriously, I think you look at Chicago in general, I think they've exceeded expectations so far. So we have to give them a bit of props here on the podcast. Nick Paul is another guy I wanted to get to, more so because people think I'm his doppelganger or vice versa, but he's notched at least 1 point in 6 of 7 here, James. It's just like, another, you know, Tampa guy. And again, you talk about the Ottawa Senators, you talk about players that team could use right now, probably Nick Paul, but he's had a really, really good start to the season, hasn't he?
Absolutely. And he had a really great finish to last season with Tampa Bay. He's, I think, exceeded expectation in the playoffs with them. And you look at him right now, he's riding a 5-game point streak, 6 points in that span. He's had a game, especially if you're in a league that counts, you know, faceoff wins. I mean, 9 faceoff wins, 8 faceoff wins, 6 faceoffs. He adds hits. So, you know, he's a very, very multidimensional player. It covers a lot of categories for you. And the fact that he's dual eligible as a center, left wing, with exposure to, you know, not the elite players on the Tampa Bay Lightning, but certainly some of their better players. And I would definitely say he's somebody that you should be targeting, you know, and if he starts to heat up a little bit more, he's one of those great sell high candidates, you know, him, Dominik Kubalík, you know, is one of them right now. I've been harping on everybody. I don't know how sustainable it is with Kubalík. So ride the hot hand, but also if you can, you know, sell high on him, definitely pull the trigger if you can get some good value. And that's also something that you always have to be considerate with guys like this right now is, you know, yes, they're streaming, but also could I sell high on them?
One guy that we've been talking about for sell high is Martin Nietzsche, but I think I would keep Nietzsche. He's actually leading the Carolina Hurricanes in points this season, which is pretty shocking. So don't sell high on Nietzsche unless it's for the really right price. But yeah, back to those Tampa guys. Nick Paul is playing second line with a lot of exposure to Steven Stamkos at even strength. And that has allowed Tampa Bay to play Brandon Hagel on the left side of the first line. And right, Nick, I mean, those are two of the best sparsely owned pickups right now because of the pedigree of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And because this team just continues to find the pieces to the puzzle year after year, even when they lose their secondary players, they lose Andre Palat. It doesn't matter. They lost all those third liners the previous years. It didn't matter. And Nick Paul is taking advantage on the second line center while Anthony Cirelli is injured. So that's another thing. I think he could stick there even when Cirelli comes back, Nick.
Yeah, that's the one thing that stuck out for me in terms of ownership. And sorry to interrupt there, James, but Kalorn and Stamkos and that exposure alone, I think it's important to bring up, too, that Paul's not really playing much on the power play right now. Of course, he kills penalties. So, like, you're looking at even strength production, but I think in a vacuum, like, it's good to target guys like this who are hot, especially with the exposure to the big boys in Tampa, right, James?
Absolutely. And Tampa Bay is one of those teams that for years we've said any time that you can dip into that production anywhere right now. You always want to do it. But an interesting question has been popping up for me on Twitter. I've been getting some questions from some followers about the Tampa Bay Lightning, specifically Andrei Vasilevskiy. And we're talking about, you know, selling guys. I've been getting questions right now, like, should I be selling Andrei Vasilevskiy? I mean, yes, he has 4 wins in 8 starts, but very, very un-Vasilevskiy-like, if that's even a word, stats to you know, date. I mean, a 2.87 goals against. He does have a 9.11 save percentage, but yeah, 3 consecutive games, 3 goals against, and the 2.87, you know, goals against average. Where are you guys right now on your confidence with Vasilevskiy, with what you've seen from Tampa Bay so far? And would you try and sell on him right now for the right deal?
Pete?
I wouldn't. I think that he's, you know, he's bound to get you 35 plus wins at the floor. I know that he's getting outperformed by some no names out there, right? I saw Martin Jones was on your list, James, out of respect for the goal support that the Kraken have been providing him. He's got 6 wins, tied for 2nd in the NHL. I don't know that that's going to keep up, or that Seattle's going to be in a playoff spot when it's all said and done. But yeah, when you look at the big picture and you see some of the guys out there that he's getting significantly outperformed by, you have to be a little afraid. But Vasilevskiy is tried and true, so that's the answer to my for me.
Yeah, certainly I would echo those sentiments. I'm nipping this in the bud right away. Tampa does this every year. They're going to start playing hockey in about mid-November, go on a run, make the playoffs, and be just a pest in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I'm holding firm on Vasilevskiy. He made 52 saves the other night. Like, the guy's an absolute stud. Not to mention Victor Hedman's a bit banged up. Once they get Cirelli back, I am not worried whatsoever with them or their goaltending. Speaking of goaltending, James, there's 2 guys on your list. I know Pete sort of pooped on Martin Jones, and I get it. The body of work the last couple of years, not so pretty, but I got to give credit where it's due here. The last 5 starts, 4-1-0, 1.61, 937, 1 shutout. Seattle has Nashville, Minnesota, and Winnipeg all on home ice this week. So I think you look at them 7-4-2 out of the gates. And we mentioned Jake Oettinger going down last week, and we mentioned the name Scott Wedgwood. Well, all he's done is win 3 in a row, a 2 GA, a 935 save percentage, and Dallas has been a shock so far.
Absolutely. Dallas has been kind of the most surprising team. I think a lot of us expected, especially after the offseason that they had, that they might take a step back, and they absolutely haven't. Jake Oettinger did exactly what I think everybody expected Jake Oettinger to do to start the season. And it's really unfortunate this injury came at this time, because I don't want it to derail him when he comes back. You know, that's going to be really, really unfortunate for him if he gets, you know, off to a slow start when he comes back. But I think between the two of them right now, you know, I trust Scott Wedgwood a little bit more just because of the team that's in front of him. Now, obviously we know what kind of goal support Seattle is giving to Martin Jones. But we also know that as soon as, I mean, like Wedgwood, we know that once Philip Grubauer comes back, it's going to be his net. We know once Oettinger comes back, it's going to be his net. If you're looking for a guy who I think is going to start more, it's going to be Martin Jones. But if you're looking for a guy who I think is going to give you more quality, in my opinion, it's going to be Scott Wedgwood.
And one thing just to clarify, so with Martin Jones, maybe I don't like him big picture, but I do maybe like him better than Philip Grubauer. I know Grubauer is injured right now, so we'll see how things shake out at that point. But he might be better than Philip Grubauer. And Martin Jones did have many years of 35 plus wins with the Sharks back in the day, even when he was not putting up a good save percentage. So it's kind of good for Seattle with all their scoring depth. They're rolling 3 or 4 good lines right now, right, guys? So I don't know if they're going to be able to replicate this, but they have some of the best scoring depth in the entire NHL over the first month of the season, and they deserve to be where they are, sitting behind only Vegas in the Pacific right now and ahead of Calgary and Edmonton, shockingly.
Don't worry, Pete. You don't have to walk back your comments. You're not Sheldon Keefe, okay? Just take it. Take it. We understand. Martin Jones has been a struggle the last couple of years, and this is great to see this little run that he's sort of a factor in fantasy hockey again. So I'm with you, my man. Andre Kuzmenko, we're back on the train here. It was a turbulent start, so-so start. Vancouver's founded a bit lately, but the exposure to Elias Pettersson does it for me. EP40 has been outstanding for, say, what, the last calendar year, like the second half of last year. He really, really took off after that abysmal start, and he's been really, really strong. I do like that pairing quite a bit.
Well, I think that this is exactly what everybody was expecting of Kuzmenko. You know, we know what the pedigree was. We know what he did over in Russia in the KHL before he came here. And now 9 points in his last five games, you know, 4-point game against Anaheim last week. He's got a power play point in each of those four games that he scored in those last five. So, you know, he's doing it in all facets of the game. And I think, you know, that first transition period, you know, because you just don't really get the full speed of everything in preseason. You're shuffling lines the first couple of weeks. And I think now that he's finally settled in, he finally has that line, and that team is kind of turning everything around, because for the first few weeks, we were all wondering if they were even going to win a game this season. I think the pressure is off a little bit. And especially, like you said, he's playing with Pettersson, who has just been an absolute monster since the second half of last season. It's going to be a really, really good year for Kuzmenko. And I predicted that he was probably going to break 60 points this year. And I don't see any reason to shy away from that prediction.
Right. And he's also on that first power play, right, with Quinn Hughes and Pettersson and Bo Horvat, who quietly tied for second in the NHL in goals with 10. So a lot of people are big on Bo Horvat. If they got him outside the top 100, who wouldn't be? And then, yeah, I mean, it's just and then JT Miller as well on that unit. So it's really one of the best power play units in the league. And he's getting spoon fed these opportunities and these scoring chances. So you love to see that for the guy that just came over from Russia. James, two guys on your list that you're considering this week are New Jersey Devils. The team's won six in a row. We've been beating the drum for a while. The trains are running fast out of Newark Penn Station right now. It's pretty fun to watch this team continue to thrive against the expectations. But Miles Wood, some nice category coverage from him. He's among the league leaders in points per 60 minutes, I saw. And also John Marino on the blue line. There are not many good defenseman waiver wire options right now. So you're looking at Johnny Marino coming over from Pittsburgh and taking the next step in his career with the Devils.
I don't know who's beating the drum for New Jersey more, if it's Anna or if it's Dave, but it's a neck and neck race between the two of them right now. That's for sure. I love John Marino. I was a big fan of him when he was on Pittsburgh, and obviously, you know, he was a little blocked there. They traded Ty Smith for him over the summer, and Smith is obviously the guy we talked about a lot over the past couple of years here on the podcast. But I would say, in my opinion, it's Marino. I think he was a steal, and I think that he is going to, you know, start to progress and really show, you know, what he can do. Wood is known for these streaks, but he's playing on the fourth line right now. So unless he bumps up, I really don't see him making too much of a lasting impact. So I would be leaning more towards Marino, especially just with how thin the blue line is on the waiver wire right now.
And last but not least, Victor Arvidsson's a guy you're looking at. Philippe Danault's had another really, really good start. Very underrated player. I think Los Angeles in general, I want to see a bit more from this team in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm a huge Arvidsson fan. Always have been. He's a huge shot volume guy. So especially in the shot prop market, if you're, you know, dabbling your toe there for betting purposes, I love Arvidsson. But I am a big fan of him, and I think 49 points in 66 games last year, I think he could easily hit that or more again this season, probably get close to like 60 points.
James, before we let you go, the hockey knowledge that you spew every Monday, every other Monday is tremendous, but you should know that the college hoop season gets underway today, Monday, 11/7. So I'm going to leave you with this so we can come back in March and circle back. Three futures to win the tournament, to cut down the nets, the entire thing, the entire enchilada. We're going to go Houston plus 1,200. We're going to go Kansas plus 1,400. We're going to go Arkansas plus 1,600. And take a look. These are on the peripheral, but take a look at Duke UCLA. I think those prices are pretty good too, but book it, James. Okay. College hoops today, buddy. Today.
Bobby, do you have any Masters futures yet, or those haven't?
Those don't trickle in until the week before. So, but I'll get there.
What kind of number can I get on the Jets winning the Super Bowl right now?
Oh, please, with this Jets team, the Bills were sleepwalking yesterday during that game. But James, thanks as always. Always appreciate it, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks, pal.
Always, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, the one and only waiver wire, James. There's a lot to talk about as we wrap the show here, Pete. The hot seat watch. This is my favorite segment here on this this podcast this season. Who's the clubhouse leader right now? The Ottawa Senators, Pete. I know that was my first potential to go. You hate to see anybody lose their job, but DJ Smith's bunch has struggled out of the gates, but they got a goalie back now.
Yes, Cam Talbot, I think, can help them turn a couple of those either low scoring games or one goal games in the other direction. Again, Forsberg's a good 1B goalie, but yeah, they've had multiple injuries to Forsberg included at different points in the season. That's a welcome addition. Cam Talbot, must add goalie. He lost to the Flyers over the weekend, but he only allowed 2 goals. So, you know, look at Cam Talbot as a top 15, 20 fantasy goalie for the rest of the season. And again, Ottawa near the bottom of the Atlantic Division standings right now, but I think they're going to at least rise to the middle of the pack. Maybe not a playoff team, but they certainly have the scoring depth to be able to get back into the conversation.
The other teams in my combo for that: Columbus 3-9 in the first 12, St. Louis 3-6, Vancouver 3-6-3. It's starting to heat up because we call it in these parts American Thanksgiving. That's coming up really, really soon here, Pete.
Yeah, and it'll quiet a lot of the noise up in Toronto when they beat the Boston Bruins like they did the other day, low scoring game. That was a really impressive showing where you saw Matthews get more involved and you saw the Maple Leafs kind of look like a team that could be a real contender this year after some really suspect losses at different points. Speaking of Boston, they got Krejci back over the weekend. The Blues actually didn't end up losing Torrey Krug for any period of time. He came back on Thursday, but the Blues continue to sputter, right, Nick? So there are so many buy low options. We talked about a bunch in previous shows. Mm-hmm. Wanted to also mention Robert Thomas. Are you still confident in this player turning it around? The thing that makes me worry is he had his breakout season last year and fans were asking about Robert Thomas. Should I buy low or should I cut ties with him? The problem with him is like he's so assist heavy, and if he's not shooting a high percentage on his shots on goal, then he's kind of one dimensional in the category coverage.
He is, and I think in general, when you look at this week for the St. Louis Blues, if there's no response, I think they're in big time trouble. They have a 4-game week coming up. I don't think Craig Berube's job's on the line, but they got to figure something out quickly here because it's just not working. And I think across the board, Pete, there's buy low value in all these guys. You know, from Tarasenko to Shen. I'm still a believer, if you can believe it, in contract year Ryan O'Reilly. There's just so many different pieces to that puzzle, and I think they will find it eventually here, guys.
Hey, Nick, the one thing you've been on, which I completely agree with, and some of the old school folks, Sean Rourke, who I respect his opinion on NHL at the Rink, and Dan Rosen, I have to say this Jordan Binnington stuff every game, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. And listen, go back and listen to NHL at the Rink. Sean Rourke, you know, I don't want to say he was defending Binnington, but saying that this is who Binnington is and this is how he gets his edge. Give me a break with that nonsense. Every single game you get blown out and you got to act like a child.
I always laugh, and that's funny you bring that up because you guys remember my story of the summer. I was in Arizona in June and I bumped into Jordan Binnington and I made a comment like as a joke, and he's actually a pretty chill dude, but I'm like, when are you actually going to fight? We're still waiting for that scrap, right, Bobby?
Well, I just have to say every single game, it seems like he's got an incident on the ice, whether he's pushing someone, throwing a stick. Again, go back and listen to NHL at the Rink. Curious to see where people land on this. To me, where I land is Binnington right now is a clown. So anyway, I know it's not fantasy related, Pete, but I have to jump in sometimes and get the opinions out. All right. They're bottled up.
Well, it is fantasy related because a fan was asking what to do with Jordan Binnington, hold or drop. I would drop Binnington for Cam Talbot right now. You know, I'm not sure if I would go any lower than that because St. Louis, although they're at the bottom of the NHL standings right now. Actually, St. Louis is tied with Columbus for the fewest points in the NHL right now. So that is something that is embarrassing for a team like that, let's be honest. But there is some bounce back appeal. Again, I like Kyrou to turn the ship around a little bit. Even Robert Thomas, he is on the first power play with Tarasenko and Krug. So Once those guys start scoring, they'll be getting more W's. It's just the scoring hasn't been there and Binnington hasn't been that great. But yeah, it's funny you bring up Binnington because he's like, he's always getting thrown out of the games and swiping at people. Oh, it's crazy.
It's a stale act, fellas. Like even like shoulder thrusting Ilya Sorokin or whatever the Islanders, like, what are you doing, man? Like, anyways, I got to ask you this question. The Pittsburgh Penguins, what are you doing is a good question for them too. I think in general, Pete, two teams we thought could be on the bubble going into this season have some legends. The Washington Capitals, the Pittsburgh Penguins have now lost a combined 11 in a row. You got 7 for Pittsburgh, 4 for Washington. We'll start with the Pens, 4-6-2 on the season. Remember that hot start? Long, long time ago, but during this 7-game stretch, they've scored 16 goals and they have 33 goals against here, Pete.
Right. And with Washington, the injuries continue to mount. Hopefully they'll get John Carlson back this week, but they lost TJ Oshie. They're still without Backstrom and Tom Wilson. The injuries are the excuse for Washington right now. Fair. What's the excuse in Pittsburgh? That team's always missing guys every single year. Even guys like Zucker are back and producing. Malkin's healthy. Crosby's healthy. Letang healthy for the most part, right? I mean, there's no excuse for what's going on in Pittsburgh other than this could be the beginning stages of the fall that we've been kind of anticipating for a while, that their win now mentality has kind of masked. So again, Pittsburgh still has a ton of elite talent, including Gensel, including Rust. But again, the depth isn't there as in years past, and there's no excuse for what's going on right now. This is the longest winless streak in Pittsburgh since 2006, and a lot has happened in terms of championships in the Steel City since 2006.
Look, I made the proclamation on this podcast, I think back in the spring, that at some point in time, Pittsburgh's going to be the next Chicago, the next Los Angeles, where it's like just time to repack and think about the future. We're not at that point just yet. They gave like everybody and their mother a brand new 5-6 year contract extension until they're like 60 years of age. But I think we're going to get to that point with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think it's premature. It's a long season. It's 82 games. A couple of things to wrap. I wanted to give a shout out to Sam Reinhart, dedicating this podcast to him. Scores 2 goals. One was an empty netter on Sunday. And Brandon Montour, if you own him, Pete, you better be looking to sell high right now. That's because Aaron Ekblad is projected to return or is looking at returning November the 12th. So in 5 days from now, as we have this conversation against the Edmonton Oilers.
Right. Definitely a good move. Sell high on Hampus Lindholm before McAvoy comes back. And same thing as you just mentioned, sell high on Montour before the return of Aaron Ekblad. But it will be fun to see which guy ends up playing with Aaron Ekblad once he comes back at even strength. And remember with Montour, one thing just to counter argue what you just said about Montour, before Montour got injured for those couple games and then Ekblad went down in coordination, I mean, I think like they were actually trying a 2 defenseman set on their first power play. So something to look out for. If you are keeping Brandon Montour and if you're hanging on to Gus Forsling, that one of those two guys actually could stay up top on the first power play, even after Ekblad comes back.
Nick, it looks like you and your Leafs Nation program, it looks like you guys have turned around the Leafs a little bit, you know, all the griping and the hollering and the panic. It seems like the team has turned it around, Nicholas.
Yes, the shameless plug, Bobby Boy. Thank you so much for that. Every day, 11 a.m. Eastern time on the Nation Network YouTube channel, Leafs Morning Take with yours truly and former Leaf and Flyer Jay Rosehill. So subscribe.
Very listen, nice.
Like, leave us a review, please. Thank you.
Listen, I don't even like the Leafs and I watch. I watch just to get some pointers from you. Thank and Rosie. All right, Pete, put a bow on it. And when I say put a bow on it, I mean put a bow on it. What's up, Nick?
Lastly, just wanted to extend our condolences to the thoughts, family and friends of Peter McNabb. Just my goodness, from everything you hear about him, interviewed him a bunch of times, just salt of the earth. And you hate to see him more so. Like I was texting with Mark Mosher today. He's like, man, this really, really hurts. But the fact that we were in Finland for it just hurt even more. So,
yeah, I know that Avs broadcast crew, one of the best in the entire league. And it's got that family element, too. So I know a lot of people are sad about that news. Unfortunate for sure, but thanks again to Waiver Wire James for hopping on the show today. For Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you again later in the week on Thursday for Mailbag Rankings Edition. Again, NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented and delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk to you soon.